And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
How do I sound now? I sound okay?
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Okay, here we go.
And it's another hoops adjacent episode of the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge here in DC. Our man Mark is down for the count. Got that flu bug or whatever. Can't make it, so I got to ride solo this week. But it's no problem because my guy, Eddie Johnson, 17-year vet, crafty shooter, co-host of the NBA Today Show on Sirius XM Radio every day. Get that Sirius XM app. It's really life-changing. EJ, what's up, my man?
I'm just living the dream, man. I'm out here on this road as I've been for the last 23 years and traveling first class.
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's not a bad life. I like that life, but, you know, there was a shelf life for me. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, it wasn't, trust me, my shelf life is starting to end.
Yeah, without a doubt. But, you know, you can't complain too much because, like you said, you fly nice, you stay nice. you know what I mean? Like, you ain't no Motel 6s most of the
time. Can't argue with that.
Exactly. Look, man, as all of you know, Eddie's the analyst and has been for some time for the Phoenix Suns. We're going to talk a lot about the Suns. I did want to start, though, Eddie, with the loss of one of our all-time greats in this game, Paul Silas, this past weekend. And Paul was a guy that I came to know as a coach after his playing days were done. I certainly understand what a great player he was, but I got to know him as a coach, and he was a righteous guy. An honest guy, could not lie to you about people and players, even his own players. You know, he wouldn't sugarcoat it. And I know he was a mentor to you as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the greatest rebounders in the history of this game. Could score, but had to play a role. So he's the ultimate team guy. Played on a number of, obviously, organizations. Played in Boston. Had an opportunity to speak with Dave Cowens yesterday. He was a very close friend of his, obviously. They were coaching together a couple of years as well. But Paul, you know, what I just remember of Paul and is just the bright greeting I would always get from him.
Yes.
Every time I saw him, he'd smile and he'd hug me. And, you know, he asked me about my family. When I was playing, he would always give me advice. He was very impactful for me because of his demeanor. And we've lost a good one. And as I tweeted out, I said, heaven over the last few years, they're building a great team up there.
Sure.
We lost a lot of tremendous players that played in our association, and they moved on. And not just older players. I'm talking about younger guys as well. You know, my memory goes all the way back to Kevin Duckworth, Jerome Kersey, Armand Gilliam. It's just guys that left here too soon.
Yeah.
And now Paul Silas has moved on, and our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family.
Yeah, you know, obviously, I've said, you know, Steven is right off the chip off the old block, same type of guy, you know, waited patiently for his opportunity and is making the most of it. But, I always try to celebrate those guys that played, especially the guys that played back in the 70s and the 80s, because I think out of sight, out of mind is very quick. It's very easy to forget what a guy like Paul Silas meant to this league and the way he played, the way he carried himself, how the professional that he was as a player and as a coach, the expectation he had for you as a player when he became a coach. And I don't want people like that to be forgotten, you know, because they were the guys that built this league and they were the guys that kept this league alive before Magic and Bird and all those guys and Michael Jordan and all those guys came on the scene and took it to the next level. And no disrespect to them, they earned every bit of it. But guys like Paul Silas and Wes Unseld, who I grew up, you know, that's my first job in the NBA was covering the Bullets when Wes was a coach. And he taught me so much, not about the game, which was substantial. He taught me more about people, you know, just about how to deal with people, how to treat people with respect. And people like that in this game, I don't want those guys' contributions to be forgotten.
I totally agree with you. And that's why I take exception to guys in this era, this quote unquote new media, making comments like they do. Draymond Green making his crazy comments, J.J. Redick saying that, you know, Bob Cousy played with plumbers and firemen. They were supposed to stay home broke. I mean, they weren't what making the money that you were making, J.J. So they had to go take care of their families and do extra. But they could play basketball.
Sure.
And so, yeah, it's just reminding these guys just to respect the history.
Right.
I think these guys, they get lazy with it. They only want to go back a few years when they first got in the league and start comparing players, start doing all these things. No, if you're going to make those comparisons, you got to do your homework. You just get up. You know, it's easy to go find it. And yeah, that's why I continually tell the league, I think they're missing the boat on rookie orientation. I do. I think if these young people want to come into this league early, like anything else, like, you know, when you get out of college and you want to go get a 9-to-5 job, regardless of the education you got in college, they're immediately going to make you take another test. They're going to see if you're qualified to work for them.
Right.
I think the league is missing the boat, man, in regards to a history lesson to these young people, where in that rookie orientation, they should be asked to follow and be able to pass a history test. A simple test on plays, so they can understand about the league. There's a lot of players in the league that do know the history.
Yes.
You know, i.e. LeBron.
LeBron and Chris Paul.
KD. All these guys know the history of the game, but a lot of these guys don't, and they don't care to want to know. And yeah. I think it's a travesty that they don't have that knowledge.
You know, one of the things I always thought that they should do at rookie orientation is kind of link up. If you're the first round pick of the Dallas Mavericks, you should be paired up with Rolando Blackman. You know what I mean? Like he should be the guy that you follow your first year. Like you exchange numbers. He meets you on the road. You come see him on a home game, just so that, to your point, you can learn about the history of this league and what it was like and what the city is like and how it's changed and all of the thing, the pitfalls and all that. So if you do like a 1-to-1 rookie player with a star player from that franchise, and so that they would have some idea of the team that they're going to and what's expected of them, I think that would be a great way to kind of get guys more in tune, because it's like anything else. If you don't, like you said, if you don't make it important, they won't do it. You know what I mean?
They won't do it, man. And then they'll have a better appreciation for the sport. Right now, they think it's tough when they have to play, you know, three games in 5 nights. That's difficult. They think it's tough when they have to go back to backs. The league has just laid it out for them, and they've changed it so many times. We've had a couple of trips this year where we played teams back to back.
Yeah.
And we stayed in their hometown, you know, and good for them that they've been able to change it. But understand, Paul Silas, who just passed away, his last 10 years in the NBA, his last 10 years, he played 16 years. His last 10 years in the NBA, he played north of 80 games every year.
Right.
Every year, he played north of 80 games. And you got these guys today, and I'll call them out, Kawhi Leonard. Dude won't play unless he's close to 100%. How dare you, man?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, no, man, you play. I mean, you know, you fight through it, because you never know how great you can be when you're compromised. But that's the mentality of these guys right now, man. They're not playing to their 100%. And they'll take nights off, and they're okay with taking nights off, which makes me question their love for the game. Because I'm telling you, if a coach came up to me when I played and said, Eddie, I'm going to give you the night off, I'm fighting. I'm like, no, man, I want to play, man, especially if I had a good game the game before.
Right.
This year, Klay Thompson had 40 and Steve Kerr settled.
Yeah.
Well, damn, Steve, he's been out 2 years. I mean, come on, man. I mean, these analytic guys, man, they're taking hold, man. And they say, oh, no, you shouldn't play him. Oh, no, he's compromised. He could get injured. Yeah, John Wall tore his Achilles stepping out of the damn tub.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Get hit by a bus anytime, right? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, it just wasn't even something that even would come up, even on the bad teams. Like, I covered bad teams in Washington. Darryl Walker played 79 games every year. Jeff Malone played 75 games every year.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't even think about leave not playing. And they weren't 100%. They had something wrong with them.
Look, yeah, you traveled around, man. The games don't make you tired.
Yeah.
But there's too many stoppages in NBA games to be tired. Yeah. The only time I was tired, man, was when I had to practice because the coach then could control the clock.
Right.
To actually play the game, a lot of times I didn't even sit down during timeouts because I used to tell guys, I said, man, why don't you sit down? Because I don't want fatigue to win to beat me.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick his butt, you know, so I don't need that. I said, I'll sit down when he takes me out the game.
Right.
It's just that mentality, man, that these guys don't have.
Well, I want to talk to you about you mentioned the back-to-back. The Suns played in New Orleans. We all know what happened at the end of the second game, right? The first game. I don't know. I ain't have no big problem with it. Come on, man. Let the kids celebrate a little bit. You're going to play them again. You can take care of it in 7 days if it really bothered you that much. You know what I mean? You're going to play them again.
I think it's an archaic rule. I don't have a problem with it either, but as an announcer, as an analyst, I got to call it out. And I said I don't have an issue with it. I understand his mentality. I understand that Zion didn't play last year, but don't blame us while you didn't play. I don't want to hear that, but I understand. Okay, you didn't play last year. You weren't there for your teammates.
Yeah,
but don't blame us. Look in the mirror, dude. Let's just face it. You're out of shape. Okay.
Yeah.
So. You focus now. He's come back. He's in shape. And he wanted to get some revenge on a team that eliminated them from the playoffs. I get it. I have no issue with that at all. None. But as an analyst, I got to call it out. You don't do it. His own teammates was over there trying to stop him from doing it when he was getting ready to do it. Yeah. His own analyst, Antonio Daniels, on the air said, no. So what I'm saying and what I'm trying to tell people is, it's an unwritten rule. It's a weird rule, but it's a safety rule. Because as I've said, we've had guys try to take guys out when they did it. Marquise Chris, I think last year on Bismack Biyombo, Bismack went up to try to dunk it late in the game, and Marquise Chris took him out. Okay? So, yeah, and he's on the Suns. Bismack did that on the Suns. So I'm not erasing the Suns from not being in that situation.
Yeah.
They got tape on Chris Paul doing it as a Houston Rocket. I think a lot of players have done it, but it's still, just because somebody robbed a bank 10 years ago doesn't mean we make an excuse for the guy robbing the bank now.
Right.
So I think that's what Zion had to understand, that he's been an injured guy, man, throughout his really basketball career since he went to Duke, okay?
Yeah.
And so you don't want to put yourself in harm's way. Because, you're an easy target. And that was always my point. But I don't care about somebody doing that.
Yeah, I said, you can take care of that next week. You got them again next week. Yeah. If it really bothers you, you can address it next week.
There's not too many people taking that dude out there. Okay.
Yeah. No, not now.
By looking at you, okay?
And what did you think of the, take the Suns out of it? How did you think the Pelicans, obviously, at the top of the West now, what did you see from them?
Last year, I thought they were a tremendous team. I felt they would give us problems in the playoffs. I felt if they had Zion, it would have definitely gone 7 games. Mm-hmm. They're a very good basketball team. Willie Green is a tremendous coach, man. I love Willie Green. He's a friend.
Yeah.
David Griffin is a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I pull for them, although Pelican fans probably would not believe it. but, I really love what they've done. David Griffin is went out and he's got long guys that can defend, and I think shockingly he's found out that they can score too. Najee Marshall can score. The kid Daniels, the young kid, he can score the ball and defend. Herb Jones, Alvarado, who's one of Alvarado's probably top four favorite player of mine in the league.
He's amazing.
And he knows it. I tell him.
Yeah.
And I truly love watching them play. And no, I'm worried about that team. If we had to face somebody come playoff time, I'm worried about them.
Yeah.
Because of Zion, he's unstoppable, man. His first step is lightning quick. He gets around you, and once he gets around you and he elevates, you're done.
Yeah.
And so It's going to come a point in time now where he's going to get NBA defenses now. I think a lot of NBA teams have been hesitant to double him.
Yeah.
They've been hesitant to treat him like a quote-unquote superstar.
Yeah.
Now we're going to see. In the next coming weeks, we're going to see. We're going to see how he can navigate that because he's going to get double.
Yeah, yeah.
He is going to get double teamed, man, because you cannot stop
him. Right. As somebody who was often on the other end of a double team, your teammate gets doubled, you go to a spot and wait for the pass.
Right.
How difficult is that for a big that's not used to that or that hasn't seen that coverage yet? How hard is it for them to learn, not just to get the ball out of their hands, but where to go, where to get the ball to you, where you like it, you know, what your pocket is in terms of where you like to catch the pass to just go up and shoot?
And, you know, Zion's look is going to be different, like, because he's not playing with his back to the basket. He's playing top of the key, and he's got 10 eyes on him, which now he has to make decisions like a guard.
Right.
And I think that's when it's going to get a little difficult for him because now you can't always try to make the home run pass. You just got to make a hockey pass, you know, and not think that you're going to get the assist, but you're going to help somebody else, help that guy get a shot that's open. Yeah. And I think that's when we'll see how he plays into that and how he handles it. His handle is really good. He jumps high enough to be able to go against the cardinal rule of not jumping past. Mm-hmm. But he jumps so high, I mean, he gives himself an extra second to really survey what he has to do. And he gets away with it. So, yeah, it's going to be a different animal. And then also when Brandon Ingram comes back, I think, it's the same thing I said about Boston. You know, people are, oh, they're running through the league. I said, do you all remember what the Suns did last year? They ran through the league. Everybody's going to hit a wall.
Yeah,
and that wall is happening now for Boston because teams now are figuring them out. They're watching film. They're taking things away from them. And I think when Brandon Ingram comes back, I'm just wondering how that's going to fit with their team if Brandon Ingram wants to come back and be Brandon Ingram, which he can be. I mean, without a doubt, he can. But I think it's pretty obvious this is Zion's team. And it was always Zion's team. And I think Brandon Ingram needs to know that.
That's, I always wondered especially with, Brandon's not young anymore, but he's not, 32 either. You know what I mean? So you just wonder how a guy is going to handle that. He's gotten his money, he's gotten his accolades, and now it's about, what are you going to do to help us win?
Right.
You know what I mean? And if it means that we got to play through Zion, you got to accept it. I don't think Brandon's tripping off of that, but you always am curious when he has to actually do it, right?
You have to actually do it. And then you go through games and they're giving Zion the ball at the end.
Yeah.
And you look up and Zion's, he's gotten 20-something shots and you've got 13. That's when it starts to hit home. And like I said, I'm not saying that Brandon Ingram's not going to do it. I think he's capable of doing it. But I think we have to really, check out the situation and see how it plays out.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Well, let's see. Let's talk about your Suns now. You know, they had a great start. As we tape this, they've lost four in a row. I think that will change soon, but you know. But what interests me, Eddie, is the defense. You know, they were top 10 all, you know, the first six mm-hmm. weeks, 7 weeks of the season, and like the last 10 games, they're down in the 20s in terms of defensive rating. What are you seeing that's kind of dropped off a little bit?
Well, I mean, I think obviously they had a huge push when they had the injuries, and those guys pushed forward, and they played with confidence, and they were able to win games.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes the fatigue of the season starts to come in on you. Guys that weren't used to playing all those minutes, all of a sudden, teams are getting a better look at them, doing things differently. That's why you have starters, and that's why you have guys that don't play big starters minutes. Yeah. Because the guys are the stars, they know how to navigate all of that. They can circumvent those different things that happen to them. And I think that's what's happened to this group. I think the fatigue of the season, the fatigue of the last three seasons, and then you get the second win. So I'm not too worried about them and their defense. I think they'll shore it up and they'll get back to where they need to be, especially with Chris Paul back in the lineup.
So,
because he controls tempo. And yeah. I think, you know, the Suns started to struggle offensively, and then all of a sudden now they were out of tempo. Teams were running back up their back, and they were getting back on them. Well, Chris Paul was never going to allow that to happen. And so right. – and you can see this past weekend. I mean, we were down a ton to them in the first game, Chris Paul – controlled the tempo, got hot, got him back in the game.
Yeah.
The other night, came out, controlled the tempo of the game. Suns built up leads, lost leads when he went out. And so it's all about the tempo. And then about, obviously, you know, getting Devin Booker back, getting Cam Johnson back.
Right.
Finding, you know, what are you going to do with the Jay Crowder situation? I mean, who are you going to bring in here? It's just they don't have that new shot of new blood that a lot of these teams have gotten. And
right.
I think it's kind of weighing on them a little bit. And I think that they're struggling with it, which is not a shock to me. It really isn't.
So with Jay, I mean, what type of player, I mean, do you think they just need a 3-and-D guy back, or could they get, would it be a different type of player that they need?
My personal opinion, they need to get tough.
Okay.
You know, it's a finesse team that is very good. And look, it's finesse teams out there. I mean, Golden State, finesse team.
Right.
You know, so it's a lot of teams that play finesse and they have a lot of success. But I think the Suns, they need a power forward, somebody that's got some size that, and not necessarily, you know, a guy that's going to come manhandle people, but a guy that can play above the rim, knock down shots, can guard, can at least deter Zion, you know, deter Giannis, because those are the ones you got to navigate.
Right.
I mean, before it's all said and done. I mean, you know, maybe get out there and maybe have to deal with Luke, you know, in regards to how he just punishes people. Because Luke is basically a power forward in a point guard's body. So I think, you know, that area, I think they have to shore up. And I think they'll be fine. I mean, I think if Cam Johnson's looking good now. I heard he's recovering quite nicely and he should be back sooner than later. Yeah. Devin is more of a precaution right now with his hamstring. Because he's had a history of it. So, you know, anytime it starts to tighten up on him, they're going to give him time off. So, yeah, I just think, you know, they'll be fine. And you know what? I kind of like them in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, you know, it's better to be the hunter than the hunted,
yeah,
right?
Chased all the time, you know.
Yeah,
it becomes a pressure situation to maintain it. I kind of like him in the middle of the pack and to see what they can.
Well, it seemed to me if Milwaukee, you know, you've heard Milwaukee's kind of been rumored as a team that's interested in Jay. Like, to me, to your point, like a guy like Bobby Portis would make a lot of sense for Phoenix to me. Like,
oh,
you know,
please. I think if he was presentable, I think they'd take him.
Yeah. No, I don't know if Milwaukee would do that. You know,
no, I don't know either.
You, but if you want Jay Crowder, you got to give up something. You got to give up something for him.
You
got to
give up something. And so they're going to be patient with it. Yeah, they're going to be patient with it. They're not rushing. Now that we're close to December 15th, I think some trades are going to start to happen. Right. And I think that's when the pressure does fall on the Suns, because now you don't want to lose out on the player that you had your eye on, you know, up until this moment.
Yeah, because they got to. Obviously, they got to do something to resolve the Jay situation. I mean, they got to move him somewhere.
Yeah.
So, how have you seen? How has Ayton been so far this season?
I think he's played tremendous. I think, you know, he has an opportunity to make an All-Star team this year. You know, the kid is still young, and you know, most big kids, man, they don't mature fast.
Takes longer. Yep.
And, but I mean, I think his concentration has been much better this year. He have lapses, of course, you know, in the aggressive category. He did that against Houston a couple weeks ago when they lost. Houston just continued to strip the ball from him. So he's having those issues. But other than that, man, you know, he's putting up numbers. He's rebounding. He's concentrated. He's a very good teammate to these guys. And so I don't, you know, people always want to go right to him and blame him, you know, when a guy like Zion, you know, destroys you. But it's not all about him, man.
It's,
you know, Zion's been destroying people for the last 9 games.
Yeah. I thought Monty did a terrific job of handling, you know, a very delicate situation with DA coming back. You know, that was a tough one because it all happened kind of out in the open and in public, right?
Yeah.
But you know, he, as best he could, kept it in-house. And I think that's helped DA kind of get past it and move on and maybe, you know, get back to the type of player that he's capable of being.
Yeah, DA wasn't as bad as what people were making it out. But, like, man, I've had some arguments with coaches.
Yeah, true.
You know, I mean, come on, man. It's just a part of it, man.
It's just that I'm just that, you know, but you know these kids today, it's different. You can't. Yell at them like they used to be able to, you know.
You're right. But, you know, but DeAndre, from the moment that he got back this year, you would have never known. Monty and he were engaged. They would talk.
Yeah.
You know, maybe more so on the basketball court, but that's where it's supposed to be, in practicing the basketball court. And, you know, his teammates love him.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he's been totally engaged. Yeah. And so, you know, it sometimes good thing is good for certain things to happen. You know, it puts you in a position where, you know, you don't want to go back there again. And I think DeAndre is in that position where he doesn't want to visit that again, where he has an issue with his coach.
They got CP at like 30 minutes a game so far this season. You think that's the number he's going to be at all season?
Yeah, I think they're going to be really cautious with him, as rightly they should. I have no issue when you get later in your years.
Sure.
You're trying to be careful with you.
Put him on a Stockton plane. Absolutely.
Yeah, but sure. I just have an issue when you're in your 20s and early 30s, and all of a sudden and I hate to keep using Kawhi as an example, but, you know, he's played, what, over 10, 11 years, and he's only played in 500-some games. To me, that sends a bad precedent. Other players are looking at that. And no, Chris Paul loves to play.
You got to save him from himself. Absolutely.
Yeah, they have to hold him back. But I think he's come to that point where he understands that the last 2 years didn't reap the benefits that he wanted totally. And so he knows he has to be fresher at the end of the season.
Yeah, no question. To that end, is there, you know, should they make a move to bring another, you know, a clearly backup point guard, but a veteran point guard, you know, that can help him, you know, get through the regular season and keep him fresh for the playoffs?
Well, to be honest, I mean, Cam Payne has played well.
Yeah, no, Cam's played good. I just, you know, well. You just wonder from a minute standpoint.
He didn't have a great year last season.
Yeah.
He does have his periods where he struggles, as most players do. But
Sure.
But he's really, I think he's the reason why they're sitting at 16-11.
Yeah.
Because of his good play at the point guard position. But yeah, I think they're always looking for that. I think, you know, Devin, you know, a lot of people don't realize Devin has really improved his point guard skills, and they'll move Devin back there and let him run stuff.
I know that's the default, is that he can be the backup point guard.
Yeah, they'll let him run stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, around the All-Star break, when teams start to, you know, maneuver and start releasing players and you get a chance to sign players, I think they might go that route. But I would just like to think they got to try to get physical right now. Because Mikal Bridges can go back in the backcourt. He can bring the ball up. Their offense is all about movement and touches. It's not about a point guard creating for everyone other than Chris Paul.
Right.
And so, you know, I just see them maybe leaning toward the physical aspect.
Ayton said something the other day that I thought was interesting. You know, he said, you know, you can't get caught up about December games. And I know what he was saying. You know, they got a bigger picture in mind. But on the other hand, you don't want to be, you know, sliding toward the play-in game either. You know what I mean? Like, you got to – there's a balance between not putting all your eggs into the regular season, but understanding that positioning for the playoffs is important. You know, and I wonder what that balance is for this team as they go through the regular season.
You're right, because DeAndre needs to look at the standings and see that, you know, from the 13th position all the way up to the first, there's not many games separate from the top.
Exactly.
So we're in a four-game losing streak, and look how far we've dropped.
Yeah.
You know, last year we could have lost four in a row and wouldn't even been a dent. So so he has to understand that. And you don't want to mess around, because injuries happen. They've experienced it this year. Defections happen. So a defection and injuries, you know. So this is not the same 64-win team, you know, from the start of the season to now that they were last year. And so – he has to understand that. But again, he's a young guy, man, that, you know, emotion gets the best of these guys, man. And that definitely was not the right thing to say.
So I want to get you out on this, EJ. I know you got, you know, your own show to do, but I always like to ask guys who played, who was your best teammate that you played with? Not the best player you played with, but the best teammate you played with.
Yeah. Well, I got to give you a twofold answer.
Okay.
Like, from a teammate standpoint, and then from a guy that's between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Best teammate I've ever had, and I hate to just single him out, but Mike Woodson's the best teammate I've ever had.
Okay.
LaSalle Thompson's right there close. From a playing standpoint, it's probably for me, because I don't think that he cared who got the juice, who scored the basket. He just didn't care. And that was Nate McMillan.
Mm.
You know, and so Nate just, he was the perfect teammate to have.
Yeah.
Because he didn't care, man. Like, if you were open, you were open. He knew. If you were hot, he kept trying to get the ball to you.
Yeah.
And he just didn't care. He was selfless, man. Like, he gave up his starting position to Gary Payton, man, when he really didn't have to, because he was still better than Gary when Gary first got to the league.
They knew more.
And, and so, but he, that's why I say that's a hard question, because, you know, and then I would throw, you know, Nate was a point guard. Like, Ty Corbin wasn't a point guard, but he was one of the best teammates I ever had. He was just selfless, man. I mean, it's just guys like that, man. Derek McKee, they just played.
Yeah,
you know, just like it nothing bothered them. Like T.R. Dunn's. I mean, guys that just, they, I mean, they put their uniform on, man. They just played the game the way you're supposed to play the game. They didn't have an agenda.
Yeah.
I had an agenda. I wanted to score. I don't lie.
You were clear about that.
And they knew that.
Right.
They, you know what? But I was a great teammate. Like, I was respectful of them. I loved them. But they knew what I wanted to do.
Right.
Like, that was my job. Because if I didn't do that, I might not have been in the league. Who knows?
Right.
So they understood that. And so, yeah, man. I had a lot of great teammates, though. Man.
That's a great call on Tank, man. Tank was one of the all-time underrated dudes that I ever saw play.
Yeah.
You know.
That was my bodyguard, man.
Is that?
That's my boy, man.
Yeah, man. There was It's just, I could write a book. I probably should write a book about that league, because I missed that league, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I never had a fight in that era, but I talked so much smack, I don't know why I didn't.
Right.
Like, you know, me and Xavier McDaniel, you would have thought we hated each other.
Right.
I hated him between the lines, but I respected him.
Yeah, exactly.
I respected him, man.
I think that respect was that to me is what people don't, I don't think people get, was that most guys in the league were respected that played, you know, because everybody came there to put a day's work in, you know what I mean? Like, and you understood who the guys, the stars were, but, you know, like I said, guys like Darryl Walker that, you know, taught me so much about the game. Darryl couldn't jump over a postage stamp, you know, at least by the time he got to Washington. But he knew how to play, and he knew the game.
I still got scratches on my arm from Darryl.
Exactly.
All the way back growing up in Chicago. Scratches.
Yeah. So D-Walk, you know, played it tough, and that was most of the league back then. You know, it was just guys that come in and play hard every day, you know.
We love the game, D-A.
Yeah.
We love basketball. Like that. Yeah. Like, if we couldn't play the game, we were sick. Like, we when we were injured, man, that's why we got up and pushed through the pain.
Yeah.
We didn't want to come out of the game. Like, guys today, they'll lay on the floor. You think you got to bring an ambulance out. And then and then a minute later, they up and they want to stay in the game.
Right.
It's just
a
different mentality. And it's not different. All their fault. It's just the way that they've been brought up in the game.
Yep.
But it's that love, man, that I don't think will ever be matched in our era. Plan because a lot of those guys played only 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't try to add on to their career. And I understand why these guys do it now. That's just another $20-30 million.
I get it. Sure. Of course.
Did you hear about my incident with the Pelican fans in regards to the noise machine?
Oh, I read it. Yes. I read about that. About the accusation, and I'm sure it was accurate because I think a lot of teams pipe noise in.
Thank you.
You know, and so if they're doing it, they're not the only team in the league doing it. So that did not surprise me.
And I'm not like, they got a great fan base. They're very loud. They're very supportive. I'm very happy that they do. But man, that place was just too damn loud, man. Like No, man.
You can tell the difference, right?
My ears are tuned to crowd.
Right,
noise. You
can tell the difference. Sure.
Come on, man. Sure. But they're mad at me. They're mad at me right now. So
don't be mad at Eddie Johnson. He just
nice guy.
He is the co-host of the NBA Today on Sirius XM Radio. He covers the Phoenix Suns brilliantly. My man, Eddie Johnson. Thank you for joining us, man.
All right. Thanks, bro. Appreciate it.
Of course. Marcus would say leave that 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get this fine American podcast. And if you can't leave 5 stars, keep it to yourself, you haters. We're out.